Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Pioneering journalist Gwen Ifill died yesterday. She was just 61. You likely know her from her stellar work as the host of PBS's Washington Week in Review and co-host of the NewsHour. Ifill also had a long career in print journalism, more than 80 front-page bylines in the Washington Post, stints at the Baltimore Evening Sun and the New York Times. She got her start in Boston. Her first job after graduating from Simmons College was in the late 1970s at what was then called the Boston Herald-American. And in an industry still struggling with a woeful lack of women of color, Ifill's intelligence, authority, toughness, and grace will be sorely missed. So joining us now to remember her is Helen Drynan. She's the president of Simmons College. President Drynan, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Well, thank you, Meghna.
We're also joined now by Sarah Just. She's the executive producer of PBS's NewsHour, where, of course, Gwen Ifill was the co-host, as we mentioned. Sarah Just, welcome to you as well.
Thanks very much. Glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you both. I'm so sorry that it has to happen under these circumstances, because I do believe journalism has lost one of its leading lights. I just want to ask you both first, your just reflection on Gwen Ifill as a journalist. Sarah, let's start with you. I mean, what have we lost?
We really have, as you said, just lost one of the great icons of the industry. Gwen was a widely admired throughout the industry for her fairness and her toughness and her integrity. She had been a successful print reporter before making the transition to television, not an easy transition. She did it beautifully. She was a great debate moderator as well, and just she had an immense amount of compassion and curiosity that she brought to her journalism.
And Helen Drynan, your thoughts?
Meghna, you talked about the image that she has had in the whole world, and I would say we have lost a wonderful role model for mm-hmm. all women who aspire to journalism and the communications world, a world both of you know better, much better than I, the competitiveness and the nature of really being at your best to make it in that world. Especially, I think we've lost that role model for young women of color. There are not very many of those wonderful role models. And so she is in a category of her own, and we've lost her.
Yeah. Well, I want to actually take us a little back in time a bit to the beginning of Gwen Ifill's career, because as we mentioned, it began in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And right from the start, she showed, again, that intelligence and strength that was her hallmark as a journalist mm-hmm. in later years. So we have a little tape of Gwen Ifill speaking. She was at Colorado College just in September, talking about the event in the 1970s, again, at the then Boston Herald-American, that actually got her career started.
I got my very first job at a newspaper because someone left a racial slur for me at my workspace when I was interning. And as horrifying as it was, I have to say my first reaction was, I wonder who this is for. Is this for me? And then I realized it was. But my bosses were so horrified that they offered me a job if I ever wanted one. Now, I had no intention of going back to work for these racists, right, until I couldn't get a job. At which point, I went back and said, did you say you had a job? And it got me into the business. And so as horrifying as it was, I didn't spend a lot of time, weeping over the terrible insult. I was able to use it to my advantage.
It's that part where she says she didn't spend a lot of time weeping over an awful insult. I mean, Sarah, just talk to me about that part of Gwen Ifill as a person. You must have seen that in her work at the NewsHour all the time.
Yeah, and she told that story to me and to other folks here, by way of explaining exactly that you don't linger on the hurts, you focus on moving forward, although you don't excuse the hurts. And that was, that always seemed to be part of her approach. She did not, wallow in self-pity about anything, and she did not decry the injustices of the world. She looked to understand them, to move forward, to take advantage of whatever opportunities lay ahead so that she could do the work that she wanted to do, which was tell great stories and shine light on the truth in the world.
And Helen Drynan, you were at Simmons as an undergrad at the same time Gwen Ifill was, right?
As a grad student.
As
actually,
a grad student,
when she was
okay.
Here. Yeah.
I mean, 1970s right. Boston, right? A very different place than the city is today. She must, and she was actually, later on when she, at the Boston Herald-American, she eventually covered schools, right?
So, yes,
so,
she did.
So, I mean, it must have been not infrequent that she encountered the kinds of challenges that she laid out in that piece of tape.
Well, I think that's right. And I think one of the things that Gwen did very, very well is to take something away from an incident like that, but keep her stride. And I think, you know, we have so much conversation today about whether universities and colleges are coddling kids and not allowing them to really deal with real issues of the world. And I think Gwen's experience here at Simmons was, I learn and I grow. And I think that's a great model, especially in today's environment, to say there will be failures, there will be insults, but you pick yourself up and you keep going. And if you pick yourself up and you keep going and you become one of the first two women to run an evening news program, you've done a lot with those injustices. Mm.
You know, Gwen Ifill talked about how in her early days in the newspaper business, there were, quote-unquote, a lot of old white guys who had never seen anything like her, you know, a college-educated African-American woman. And she once told an interview that they just, an interviewer, that those old white guys just didn't know how to deal with her. I mean, Sarah, just, I even as far as we've come, I wonder if that's a challenge or a reality that Gwen Ifill felt that she never really could step away from.
Well, I think she always knew that her gender, her race, this was part of who she was and how people saw her. And even though the world has changed and improved in many, many ways, she was, you know, very keenly aware of all the continuing injustices and problems. And one of the things that she did that was just so remarkable, and I'm really even learning about further since in the hours since her death yesterday, is how much she mentored and reached out to people who were coming up. So, for instance, we had Yamiche Schelsendorf from the New York Times on the program yesterday, who I knew that Gwen had mentored and communicated with. And I assume when she told me that it was just in the past year since Yamiche has been covering the presidential campaign for the New York Times. Come to find out yesterday, she'd actually been in touch with her all through her college experience and had been guiding her and supporting her and welcoming her to meet other women, African-American women in the business in Washington, and just really felt a obligation to keep making that, helping someone along in that process. And she did it with many other young people in our newsroom and elsewhere, because she knew that, you know, there hadn't been those mentors for her, but that it was her obligation to continue to pass along the guidance and to make it easier for future generations.
Yeah. Helen Drinan, how was Gwen Ifill as an alumna of Simmons? I mean, was her effect and her example and her mentorship felt by students at Simmons?
Oh, students at Simmons adore her, as I might say does the faculty who remain at Simmons, and there are actually quite a few remaining here who worked with Gwen as a student. She's just everything to our students. I will say that I think that her availability to her alma mater was unquestionable. She would, whenever I would need to reach her, she would take my call practically no matter what else was going on, with a few exceptions. And she was just, she was a great advocate for women's education and for what she took away from here. Mm. Yeah.
You know,
I would echo that. She and I talked about women's education often, and it was important to her. She was proud of Simmons. I grew up in Boston myself. I went to school near Simmons, and we often talked about what a special experience women's education was, and how much it meant to her.
Yeah. You know, in this, her voice was obviously very much missed in the last month or so of the election. And Sarah, I guess my last question to you is, how much more are we going to miss her as we move forward, into a new presidential administration?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're never going to stop missing her here at the NewsHour and Washington Week and in journalism in general. But, you know, we're going to honor her legacy and her memory by doing the kind of journalism that she admired and would have been proud of. And that's a really high bar. And as we talk about stories in our newsroom, there are a lot of tears in wishing she were with us, but there's also a lot of pride in knowing that she taught us a lot, and was a wonderful colleague in doing the kind of work. We know what she liked and what she didn't respect, and we will keep that as a guide as we continue to do great journalism that hopefully she would have admired.
Well, Sarah Just is executive producer of the NewsHour on PBS. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Helen Drinan, president of Simmons College. It's always a pleasure to have you, President Drinan. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Magna.
I just want to read a little excerpt from a 2009 interview that Gwen Ifill gave to Julian Bond. She said, "You can't spend a lot of time assuming the worst about why people do things. It almost always has nothing to do with you and everything to do with them. It has to do with their biases, their constraints, their inability to imagine anything more." And then she went on to say, "It's my job then. It's a tougher job than my white counterparts have, but it just is what it is. It's my job to force them to see me in a different role. And then you act on that." That's Gwen Ifill back in 2009. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.